I'm Aaron Schachter, in for Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. North Korea is a country we worry a lot about, but hardly know. We worry about its nuclear weapons and its threats against the U.S. and South Korea. And we do know that leader Kim Jong-un recently executed his own uncle. But the country itself is mostly sealed off from the outside world. Occasionally, the curtain is lifted a bit for something like a Dennis Rodman visit. But the former NBA star's trips, like everything else in North Korea, are tightly controlled by the regime. So it's almost impossible to know what it's like to live inside North Korea. You can get a glimpse, though, on PBS's Frontline tomorrow. It's airing the documentary Secret State of North Korea. James Jones is the director.
What we wanted to do really was get beyond the kind of media caricature of North Korea and its leaders. And so we teamed up with a Japanese journalist called Jiro Ishimaru, who has a network of undercover reporters, just ordinary North Koreans around the country, who film using hidden cameras, just film everyday life and capture the most extraordinary things. I mean, you've seen it, but some of the footage is just extraordinary. You know, ordinary North Koreans standing up to the authorities, for instance, is just... I mean, certainly with me, it just took my breath away.
Yeah, there are quite a few scenes, actually, where women who are being hassled by North Korean police are actually, I mean, literally fighting back, kind of slapping the cops and getting pushed around and pushing back and, you know, telling them to get lost. Any indication how typical those sorts of incidents are and, you know, why she's not hauled off to work camp somewhere?
That certainly, for me, was the most striking aspect of the footage. You know, the kind of poverty and the starving children is completely heartbreaking. But I guess that conforms more to our idea of North Korea. You know, we know they've had famines. We know that the majority of the population are malnourished. But actually, to see these women standing up for themselves and beating the soldier and chasing them off down the street, I think there is a change in the mindset. And, you know, I hope that's one thing that the film will achieve, is show that all North Koreans are not brainwashed. This country is as complicated as any other country, and people think for themselves, and people are cynical about their leaders.
Now, the film focuses quite a bit on Jiro, of course, but also North Koreans who have escaped to South Korea. But other than that, I found myself kind of nervous much of the time, both for those women we're talking about who are smacking the police officers, but also for these people filming. You think about civil rights campaigners in America or anywhere in Europe, you know, and as you said, they could go to jail, they could be beaten up, but these guys, they're gone. They disappear.
Yeah, and I mean, the process of deciding which footage you can use without compromising their safety is pretty laborious and elaborate. Initially, Jiro will get the footage, and he has a team of defectors in his office in Osaka, in Japan. And so I went to Osaka and went through some of this footage with them. And they will tell you, you can't use the most unexpected thing because it will identify the street or the market that's near to this guy's home, for instance. So a lot of care goes into that.
Are there any lessons from what you learned while making this film about how the international community should deal with North Korea? More pressure, less pressure? I don't know.
The interesting thing for me was that everyone, whether it was kind of American policymakers, South Koreans, or North Korean defectors, what's immediately clear is the sanctions don't work. You know, the pressure put on them in that sense by the international community is impotent. It has no effect because Kim Jong-un can keep the 1% elite in Pyongyang happy by importing luxury goods from China. And he doesn't really care if the 99% eat grass for 100 years. Change is going to come from people like Mr. Chung, who takes huge risks smuggling American movies, South Korean soap operas on DVDs and thumb drives back into North Korea. And these are then passed around the markets and watched by huge numbers of North Koreans now who are kind of desperate to see the outside world. And that is having far more effect than any kind of international policy, because it's breaking the spell of the regime's propaganda.
There's a scene of a couple girls watching one of these television shows on their computer from one of these thumb drives. And the picture is just a sort of, you know, banal nature tour. And you hear them say, wow, I'd love to live in a country like that someday. Must be Europe or somewhere. We don't know where it is, but It's obviously not North Korea.
Yeah. And it's exactly that kind of thing that just makes people think, you know, these are tall buildings, people are driving cars, people are eating meat. You know, it just undermines everything they've been told by the North Korean state media. So it's, you know, it's incredibly powerful. And, you know, you wouldn't think that some kind of trashy movie would have such a kind of profound effect, but it really does seem that is the case.
James Jones' documentary, Secret State of North Korea, airs tomorrow night on the PBS program Frontline. James Jones, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot for having me.